You're listening to the Hello Wyoming Podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Hello Wyoming Podcast. I'm Charles Lammers, Creative Assets Manager with the Wyoming Office of Tourism, and I'm here with our special guest, Clayton Hansen. Clayton is from the Fort Laramie National Historic Site, and he's here to talk with us about the Oregon Trail Historic Byway. Clayton, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here.
Clayton, what do you do at Fort Laramie National Historic Site?
I'm a park guide here at Fort Laramie National Historic Site. In that role, I get an opportunity to tell stories to pretty much everybody, from school groups to international tourists, to find people like you in podcasts, to people just traveling the historic trails across the country. And I've been there since 2019. Before that, I worked at many different special places across the United States, from Mesa Verde National Park in the Four Corners to Sagamore Hill National Historic Site, which is Theodore Roosevelt's home on Long Island. So I've had a chance to see a lot of the country and tell a lot of really cool stories.
And now you have landed in Wyoming. What's that like?
It's actually really been fantastic. I mean, this place is so rich with stories, especially along the Oregon Trail, but even in the mountains, even in cities like Cheyenne and Casper, Laramie, Sheridan, all have their share of stories that are worth telling to the world. I mean, this is really the heart of the West in a lot of ways.
I couldn't agree more. Let's get started by introducing today's byway, the Oregon Trail Historic Byway. This 57-mile drive passes through the same area that Oregon Trail travelers journeyed years and years ago on horse and wagon. It begins in southeast Wyoming and follows US 26 all the way to the Wyoming and Nebraska state line. Along the way, you can stop by the National Historic Trails Interpretive Center at Casper and explore Fort Laramie National Historic Site near Fort Laramie. Clayton, as we already know, this road holds a lot of historical significance because it runs right along the same route that the Oregon Trail actually ran. Pioneers traveled from the east to the west in covered wagons, on foot, whatever way they could, in an effort to find a new life out west. What was that like?
Well, I mean, for those people, it could be difficult, but it was a difficulty that many of them were used to. Many of the people traveling to the far west, to the Oregon country, to California, and to the Salt Lake Valley as well on the Mormon Pioneer Trail, were used to hard work. I mean, that was farm life. That was work in a workshop at that time. But what it was that was very different, I think, was it was a break from their typical lives, and it was monotonous. You know, you're going to be getting up just before dawn every day, getting those meals ready that are very, very simple, because that's what other travelers would have told you. That's what the boosters said to do, is to take simple foods with you. So you're cooking that in the morning, often on a fire of buffalo chips, which burn hot and don't smell so bad. That's a little bit of a myth. Those are cow pies. Buffalo chips aren't so bad. So you're cooking on that, you're gathering that fuel, you're then breaking camp and then walking. And just walking throughout the day next to your wagon, if you have one, or sometimes basically on your own. And of course, if you were very lucky and very well off, you might be on horseback. But the vast majority of people traveled on foot into the far west. So just thinking about that day after day for four and a half months, which would be very different than those other lives in terms of just its monotony. Wake up, break camp, get ready. But I think also what would be different would be the landscape that they were entering into. Wyoming is a special place, and it really does look a lot different than the Midwest, than Western Europe. And I really think about that, you know, people as they were coming through the Wildcat Hills in Western Nebraska and then into what's now basically the North Platte River Valley, you know, seeing these great mountain peaks for the first time, like Laramie Peak, which, you know, is not big by Wyoming standards. It's, you know, barely 10,500 feet tall, but it's taller than any mountain that anyone would have seen west of the Mississippi.
That would have been incredible, especially if you haven't seen a mountain before, to just kind of come over the North Platte Valley and suddenly see Laramie Peak just kind of jutting out by itself, which, to your point, it is a small mountain compared to Wyoming standards, but the way that it sits kind of by itself. And so when you're driving either on present day I-25 or even on US 26, it does kind of just show up almost out of nowhere when you round a certain curve or hit a certain point. So I can only imagine on foot what that must have been like. Very mystical, I'm sure, for a lot of travelers.
I think so. Mystical, and also for the more practical among them, it's a realization that, oh, we are entering the mountains now. We are in the West to see a prominent peak like Laramie Peak jutting up above the horizon.
So as the Oregon Trail passes through this area, there's a ton of historical significance, and with that, a lot of historic sites. So on the state level, we have the Oregon Trail ruts, which are towards Guernsey, as well as Register Cliff. And then we have Fort Laramie, which is where you're at, as well as the National Historic Trails Interpretive Center in Casper, which kind of goes more into what life was like for travelers on the Oregon Trail. So let's talk a little bit about Fort Laramie. I know Fort Laramie is kind of, to give it a modern day equivalent, a travel center of sorts when it was founded. It's at the confluence of a river, a trail. It's got a lot of different routes that kind of met there, and it had a lot of different purposes. Could you kind of tell me a little bit about the history of Fort Laramie?
Oh, absolutely. So Fort Laramie has been a meeting place for, well, since time immemorial, you know, thousands of years. Native people have been coming there because, like you said, those two rivers meet, the Laramie River and the North Platte. You can't really float down them, except when they're in full flood. But if you follow them, you will have fresh water, which here in Wyoming matters an awful lot, regardless of what you do for a living. And so, of course, naturally, the fur traders came there, seeing that Native people were already wintering in the area and began to trade with Native American peoples there. And so beginning in 1834, the American Fur Company built a trading post there, which was actually named for William Sublette, the owner of that first fort. And so he got to name it for himself, Fort William, but most people just called it Fort Laramie. And so that's the beginning of the sort of the fur trade era at the fort, which lasted 15 years until 1849. And that is that key period for the Oregon Trail as it grew during the 1840s. So people would be traveling along the Platte and they'd know that this is the place where we needed to go to be resupplied. In fact, it literally put Wyoming on the map, maybe not the name Wyoming, but if you looked at a map in the 1840s and the early 1850s of the United States or the North American continent, and between the Missouri River and the Pacific Coast, you'd see very few landmarks, a few mountain peaks. You'd see, well, later on, you'd see Salt Lake City, but you'd see Fort Laramie sharing the same space as basically St. Louis, San Francisco on either side. So think about that in the period.
So it's almost a perfect halfway point.
From St. Louis, yes. But it's actually about a third of the way from where most people jumped off, which was near what's now modern day Kansas City. So this is essentially about 700 miles into the trip. You have about 1,400 more to go from here.
Got it. I see. So Fort Laramie in the day of the Oregon Trail was kind of as well known as one of our more major cities as far as transportation goes. So I know growing up in Kansas that Kansas City is a transportation hub. I know that Denver is a transportation hub, but in those days, they may not have been yet. However, on the Oregon Trail, Fort Laramie might have been known as one. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. This was a crossroads, both for Native peoples and then later for newcomers from the East. The fur traders themselves, they had a road that ran north-south. Then, of course, the travelers on the Oregon Trail. And then later on, the Army and others built roads that passed through Fort Laramie, heading to different parts of the country, the Black Hills, up along what's now Interstate 25, following the Bighorns, around the Bighorns to the gold fields of Montana, the Bozeman Trail, and many others, the Overland Trail, mail routes, what they call the Denver Road, which ran down to Denver before there was a railroad that ran down to Denver.
Got it. So Fort Laramie outdates the railroad.
Oh, absolutely. The railroad didn't come to Wyoming until the 1860s. The railroad is the origin of Cheyenne, which was nicknamed in the era the Magic City. I mean, it grew overnight to be half the size of Denver, which was already a booming small city because of the gold fields. So imagine, you know, gold is a draw, but so is being able to get somewhere else. And that's why Fort Laramie was there. And that's why Cheyenne later grew.
Got it. So we're going to talk a little bit more about Fort Laramie later because it is such a key stop along the Oregon Trail Scenic Byway. But we're going to take a second and talk about the Oregon Trail Ruts and Register Cliff. So these are actual sites where you can see actual impacts and actual remnants of the Oregon Trail itself. Can you talk a little bit about what the Oregon Trail Ruts are and what Register Cliff is?
Well, the Oregon Trail Ruts preserve one of the routes where travelers had to get away from the North Platte River. Unlike today, the North Platte is very controlled. I mean, you know, there are many dams up and down the North Platte. They're very important for agriculture, for our cities, for industry here in Wyoming. But back then, the North Platte flooded frequently. And so those floods turned areas, well, essentially like the modern day town of Guernsey, into marshes, into swamps. And so travelers wanted to get away from those. And so they would go up into the bluffs above the river. And to make it easier, a group of them did actually cut down a route, which is the most famous of those Oregon trail ruts near Guernsey, the Guernsey ruts. But you can see other ruts that were cut into the soft rock there. It's really an amazing moment when you climb up from the parking lot, from the little kiosk that's been set up by the Army National Guard and the state parks here in Wyoming, and you climb to the top of that hill, and then you just see those ruts cut right into the gray rock of the bluffs around the North Platte. And of course, just a few miles away was Register Cliff, that same rock, and people decided that they wanted to leave their mark there. You know, we want to do it today, right? We want to leave our mark. We sign guest registers, not so positively. I don't recommend this. People do, you know, carve their name in their desks at school when they're kids, whatever the case may be. But people back then were motivated by the same thing. They want to be remembered. And so that soft rock, they carved their names. And you can still see many of them from the 1840s and 50s and many later on, too. And sometimes you can see many generations. The Unthank family, for example, a Mormon pioneer family. Actually, one of the Unthanks was the telegraph operator at Fort Laramie. Interesting connection. But yeah, there's three generations of Unthanks all lined up there at Register Cliff. I invite you, if you go there, to try to find them. It's really a cool experience when you go there and you see the names lined up and you see father, son, and then nephew, so grandnephew of the original Unthank, all in a row there, leaving their mark, connecting to one another across, you know, almost a century of time.
Got it. So I guess you could say that Wyoming is one of the pioneers of social media with Register Cliff. I've been there and seen the 1800s carved into that wall. So I'd like to point out that Mark Zuckerberg kind of plagiarized the idea from Wyoming, and I'm going to stick with that.
Absolutely. I agree. No, you're right. In a lot of ways it was. And this was a way that people could give messages to each other too. Register Cliff was one place, but they'd also leave messages on animal skulls. They'd stick notes on trees. And so, you know, the Oregon Trail was a pioneer of social media. You know, this is, you have a Facebook Messenger now, or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, even back then, you have Messenger on a cottonwood branch.
That's truly fascinating. I'm going to use that from now on in our marketing, that Wyoming is the pioneer of social media. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Guernsey State Park. There's a ton of great opportunities for recreating along this stop of the Oregon Trail Scenic Byway. But first and foremost, it's got a beautiful lake. And I want to talk about some of the architecture and unique geological formations around it. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So Guernsey State Park is one of our park partners. We actually share a Junior Ranger book with them. So we invite visitors who stop in at Fort Laramie to pick that up. Once they're done exploring Fort Laramie, learning about its past, and they can go to Guernsey State Park and complete the second half there. And when you go there, you can really experience a really dramatic landscape that was dramatic to the people traveling on the Oregon Trail, and it's dramatic to people today. You have, you know, soaring cliffs rising above the North Platte. Now contained within those cliffs is Lake Guernsey, a reservoir behind the Guernsey Dam. And beautiful geology, especially Paleozoic geology, the time before the dinosaurs, which is really, really awesome. If you're looking for, you know, just the brilliant colors of that rock, but also awesome fossils. And of course, the human history. It was a major Civilian Conservation Corps camp. And so there's incredible architecture there that was built by the Civilian Conservation Corps, and many, many trails that can take you to many, many great vistas around the lake on either side.
Absolutely. And a fun fact, you can stay in a yurt at Guernsey State Park nowadays.
That's true. And they also have camping and plenty of boating.
Absolutely. It's definitely a place to stop. And not to mention the town of Guernsey is just outside of the state park, which offers amenities such as fuel and groceries and places to stay. In addition, fun fact about Guernsey, it is where Camp Guernsey of the U.S. Army is located.
Yeah, so that does get a little confusing. You have a
it does.
Civilian Conservation Corps Camp Guernsey and an Army National Guard Camp Guernsey. A little different in time, though.
Absolutely. So going back to Fort Laramie, speaking of military history, Fort Laramie has a very long storied military history as well, and that's where it got its name as a fort. Can you give me a little bit of the history on that?
Absolutely. So the Army came there in 1849, and the fur traders were looking to cash out at that time, honestly. So when the Army offered a few thousand dollars for old Fort John, which was the second fur trading post, they happily accepted. And the Army came because there were so many travelers heading west. That was felt that it was important to establish military presences along the Oregon Trail, to so-called guard the Oregon Trail, but also just to fly the U.S. flag in a lot of ways in what was then Indian country, in the opinions of people as they called them back then, the States. There weren't many soldiers at Fort Laramie at first, only one company of soldiers until the middle of the 1850s. That would have been about 60 to 70 men. But they did build the first military Fort Laramie around that old fur trading post. Unfortunately, Adobe, if you don't maintain it right, falls down. So you can't see Fort John, but you can see Old Bedlam, which is the oldest standing building in Wyoming, built by those men in 1849.
Incredible. That's a great segue to my next question, which is what is remaining at Fort Laramie? Because I know largely Fort Laramie, since it's over 100 years old, is now ruins. And there's a lot of history behind why there's not much left as well. And that's due to when the fort was closed, a lot of the buildings being sold and a lot of parts being scavenged, that kind of stuff. Could you go into a little bit of history about when the fort closed?
Sure. So the fort was considered surplus by the late 1880s. And so the Army began the process of withdrawing troops. And then in 1890, in the spring, on a snowy spring day, based on all the accounts, there was a public auction. Of course, I'm getting ahead of myself. What the Army did is they scavenged a lot of the materials as well. Troops from Fort Robinson in Nebraska came and took whatever they could, including floorboards, furnishings, anything they could, load up into wagons, and then taken back to Fort Robinson in Nebraska. So what was then auctioned off were buildings that they couldn't dismantle. And two local residents, the Hunton family, for example, he was the last post trader. He wanted to continue to live there. Many others. And so there were about half a dozen families living on the grounds of old Fort Laramie within a year. Some were ranching, some were running shops like Hunton. In fact, actually, there were competing businesses there. It was the core of what became eventually the little town of Fort Laramie, because you would have a hardware store, a general store, you had a dance hall and saloon, and everything was there still on the Oregon Trail. So even though people weren't traveling down the Oregon Trail like they had been in decades past, it was still a route that you could follow, a rough road up the North Platte, connecting the little agricultural communities from the Nebraska border all the way essentially to Casper.
Got it. So with what was left of the fort between when it was surplus and when the fort was actually beginning to be restored and opened up as an attraction and a historical site, what was left?
Well, in the end, not very much. A few of the locals did take building materials, which meant many of the buildings were left structurally unstable, the ones that had already often been stripped out by the Army pretty thoroughly. But the ones that survived were some still pretty significant places. I mentioned Old Bedlam already, the 1849 headquarters, and then later junior officers' quarters at the military fort, though that was in very bad condition, but it was still standing in the 1930s when the people of Wyoming and then the people of the United States decided to preserve Fort Laramie. The cavalry barracks, the commissary, which was that hardware store I mentioned. You can actually still see what we call in the business a ghost sign. You walk up and there's Sheridan Coal Company just faded into the concrete of the building since the Army built with concrete. Other officers' quarters and also two of the post guard houses are still standing. That isn't a whole lot, but it does give you a sense of the scale of the place. This was a big post, not at first, but by the late 1860s and through the 1870s.
That's in addition to all of the ruins that are still out there as well.
Oh, absolutely. There are ruins as well of those buildings that were partially dismantled, and some of them are very significant. For example, the officers' row ruins, the duplexes and the main officers' quarters, they look kind of like, well, honestly, I've been there in the fall, and they really do seem like haunted faces almost. It's very cool, honestly. It's a beautiful kind of experience. Bakeries, and of course, the ruins that are on the ground, sometimes only the exposed foundations sticking up of the old barracks and other buildings.
Got it. I'm sure you get this question a lot, but what about ghosts?
There are some legends associated with Fort Laramie. Probably the most famous one is the Green Lady, though I do want to warn everyone about ghost stories. This story, the first time I've been able to find a record of it, because I was kind of interested in it. It's a really interesting story. It says, she appears every 7 years riding on the hills outside of the fort, and she's glowing green. But the first reference I could find to it was, being repeated by an old man who had been a boy at Fort Laramie, been about 9 or 10 years old. So I often wonder, was this a story that he made up to scare his younger siblings or the other children at the fort? Because it is a little creepy, you know, she only appears every 7 years and you can see her distantly on the hills. But that's probably the most famous one, the Green Lady. And there are, you know, some people have repeated others to me, but they're none stand out so much as that particular story.
Got it. That's the one I've heard as well. And Sharing a personal story, I spent the day of the great eclipse at Fort Laramie, and that was surreal just to see the solar eclipse in 2017 from the grounds of Fort Laramie. And you talk about an eerie feeling mixed with history. I could see it. I could see the ghost stories being somewhat true, to be honest, but that's just my personal opinion. And I know that's a question that you probably get asked a lot, because we get asked that a lot at our office.
Oh, and we do get asked that an awful lot. But whether you believe in ghosts or not, you can definitely feel the presence of history at Fort Laramie, especially if you come in the evening or early in the morning. It really is in the air at Fort Laramie.
Absolutely. And even just outside of Fort Laramie, I've seen the Iron Bridge. Even that is history itself that's outside of the fort. And in fact, isn't that one of the earliest structures in the state?
It's one of the earliest surviving bridges in the state. And certainly the Army is very proud of it. They've actually been pushing for a bridge over the North Platte for many, many years. Before that, to get across the North Platte, you had to take a ferry at that point, which wasn't necessarily a problem, but could be a little bit expensive. And of course, it did slow down military operations. And so finally, in the fall of 1875, the Army began construction on this bridge. It was basically a kit bridge shipped in from the East. So it's amazing, you know, your 1870s erector set is still standing. You can still walk across it, and it's still strong across the Platte River.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's nice that there's a nice modern bridge next to it for the cars to go on. So now you do have a nice footbridge over the beautiful North Platte River. So let's talk a little bit as we begin to wrap up about Fort Laramie itself. Is it open year round, and what does it cost to go to Fort Laramie?
Fort Laramie is open year round, though the visitor center and the buildings are closed on Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day, and New Year's Day. But the grounds are open every day from sunrise to sunset. And best of all, they're free. So you can drive in, park in our parking lot, step outside of your car, and step into Wyoming history.
Yeah, Fort Laramie National Historic Site is definitely one of those stops that you have to make when you're traveling the Oregon Trail Historic Byway. There's so much additional history along the Oregon Trail Scenic Byway, but Fort Laramie is a very special piece of it. So other stops included in this drive between Torrington and Douglas are the Homesteaders Museum, Rawhide Wildlife Habitat Management Area, the Western History Center, Wheatland, which is, if you know Wyoming's logo, there was a horse and rider. That horse's name is Steamboat, and it was actually from Wheatland, Wyoming. And finally, Hartville, which is Wyoming's oldest incorporated town, and just near Fort Laramie, actually. You can stop at Hartville. I think it's maybe a few miles off of US 26.
Absolutely, just a little bit north of US 26.
Got it. So Clayton, one last question. What sets the Oregon Trail Historic Byway apart from other drives in Wyoming?
Well, I think sets it apart is that really strong sense of history that's literally worn down into the rocks at the Guernsey Ruts, and also other rut sites that you can see just by going off the byway briefly, like we call them the Bedlam Ruts right by the fort. So if you stop in, ask for a map, we'll show you where they are, but literally sometimes worn into the ground. So you're following in the footsteps of those people who traveled west out of the far west for a better life, but you're following in the footsteps of so many others who've wanted to experience what the West was like, whether it was artists like Alfred Jacob Miller, adventurers like Sir William Drummond Stewart, historians like Francis Parkman in the 19th century, or mom, dad, grandma, and grandpa in the car 30 or 40 years ago. You can follow in their footsteps.
Sounds absolutely surreal that you could follow in the footsteps of all of these famous historical people. So Clayton, if someone wants to plan their trip to Fort Laramie, what website should they visit?
Absolutely. If you're looking to make plans, visit our website at www.nps.gov/FOLA, FO Fort, LA Laramie. Check out our calendar of events, learn a little bit more about the fort and some of the cool sites that you can see when you come to the fort.
Awesome. Thanks, Clayton. Oregon Trail Historic Byway. It's got Fort Laramie. It's got a ton of history. You can follow in the footsteps of famous figures. Be sure to make it a part of your Wyoming trip. Clayton, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much, Charles.
And to our listeners, when you visit Wyoming, make sure you travel responsibly. Don't forget to follow along on our social media channels and use hashtag Wyoming and hashtag That's Why as you post. You can plan your Wyoming vacation by visiting travelwyoming.com. We'll see you in the next episode of the Hello Wyoming podcast. This has been another episode of the Hello Wyoming podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Charles Lammers and produced by Relic.